Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Friday, May 21st, 2021, and I'm continuing my in-depth, exciting adventure in a chronological study of the book of Revelation. Now, for those of you who might be just first joining me, all you need to do to follow this series is go to my Facebook page and scroll down, and you will see the links from previous series. But another better way to do this is to go to my podcast side of the broadcast. It's on Spotify. That's one of the platforms, and you'll see a list of all previous programs. Start from the first one. Take a little bit of time each day. Catch yourself right back up so you will be right in context with me on what I'm studying today. And so that is one way to catch up with this exciting series. For the last 8 weeks, we have been looking at an in-depth chronological study, an approach to the book of Revelation. And today, we're in for a real treat. This is the seventh bowl of the seven bowl judgments that is being poured out, and it is the fall of the city of Babylon and a preview of the return of Christ, which will be taught more in depth on the next program. But I have a question for you as we begin our teaching today and see what you answer to this question. What is the last thing that has to occur before Jesus returns to the earth? Remember, we're nearing the end of the second half of that seven-year tribulation period. It's called the Great Tribulation. We're in that last year or so, maybe even 6 months, of the Great Tribulation. So the question is, what is the last thing that has to occur before Jesus returns to earth? And the answer is the destruction of the city of Babylon. Going to talk today about this incredible city. And later on, I want us to look at lessons we can learn from the sin of idolatry that was caused by the city of Babylon. Well, one of the things I want to point out about the fall of the city of Babylon is a misconception. There are those that believe that the entire city of Babylon was destroyed. And that's not true. The city has never been totally destroyed. In fact, right now, it's being rebuilt by the Iraqi government. Now, just a little bit of geography. The city of Babylon is located off the shores of the Euphrates River, 58 miles from downtown Baghdad. That's where you will find it being rebuilt today. As we take a look at what the Bible has to say about this magnificent city, chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Isaiah, and chapters 50 and 51 of the prophet Jeremiah talks about the city of Babylon and points out that it will not be completely destroyed. It was not destroyed. In fact, when you look in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter established a church in the city of Babylon. You can find that in 1 Peter 5:13. So Peter couldn't have established a church in a city that was destroyed. A little bit of background that we need to consider when we're studying this magnificent city is that when you look in the book of Genesis, you will notice in the 10th chapter, you'll come across a figure named Nimrod. Well, he had a kingdom in the land of Shinar, and that's where we see Babylon beginning. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, Nimrod and his associates built a great tower called the Tower of Babel. And God did not take too well to this tower because these ancient people led by Nimrod declared, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens." Well, what's behind all of that? This was the beginning, if you will, of the New World Order or the New World Religion back in Genesis 11. This was a unified people that believed in their divinity, in their godhood, and they were exalting themselves up as a people, building this tower which reached into the heavens. In fact, on top of the tower, it is supposed that that was an ancient ziggurat used with astrological teachings. So this was not a godly architectural tower by any means. It was proclaiming themselves like Satan. I will be like the Most High God. And what was Satan's demise but being cast out of heaven? So God took real problems with this tower. He was not pleased with it. In fact, he spread all of the peoples that created the tower, and we have there the beginning of the migration of other races from Genesis chapter 11. He distributed them, he spread them apart, he caused them to migrate in other lands today. That's why we have all these different cultures and supposed races. He scattered them, I was trying to say. Genesis chapter 11 is the great scattering. And so the tower was judged by God. Now, in 2 Chronicles 36, a reference to the great king Nebuchadnezzar from the city of Babylon, he comes into Jerusalem in 586 B.C., destroys the temple of the Jewish people, and takes them into captivity, where? In the city of Babylon. Then, in Daniel chapter 5, once again, God judges this empire. It's important to understand that in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king that followed Nebuchadnezzar, was judged. The handwriting was on the wall, and the Babylonian Empire fell that night. That was the end of them, and that was the end of that empire. But again, the city of Babylon was not destroyed. How do I know that? In Ezra chapter 7, verses 10 through 11, we see the scribe Ezra living in the city of Babylon. And again, the reference to Peter in 1 Peter 5:13, he established a church there. Right in the beginning stages, or maybe just before the Iraq war with Saddam Hussein, Desert Storm in the 1991, Saddam Hussein was in the midst of trying to rebuild the city of Babylon. And of course, you know what happened to Saddam Hussein. In 2003, he was captured, put on trial, and hanged in 2006 by the Iraqi government. He had succeeded in rebuilding the Ishtar Gate, but that was his goal. He wanted to rebuild the city of Babylon. And as I mentioned, Iraq, the government of Iraq, is currently in the process of trying to rebuild this city. It's very prominent when we come to Bible prophecy, this city, because when you look in the book of Revelation, you see these two competing cities, Jerusalem and Babylon. If there is one theme that runs through Revelation when it comes to end time prophecy, it's the cities of Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon is not Jerusalem. Some scholars have said that, and that's not true. It's a distinct pagan city, and this is where the Antichrist will have his headquarters. The question is, why is God so angry at this city, as you see in Revelation chapter 18? Well, he is angry in one sense because the Babylonians, when they invaded Jerusalem in 586 BC, they removed the temple instruments from the temple that was destroyed, and they used it in a drunken brawl, and that is blasphemy to the Lord our God. Those instruments were used in sacred worship ceremony. But most importantly, God is angry at the city of Babylon because they took the Jews captive. And what this city now represents here in the book of Revelation is the Antichrist's headquarters. Remember, the Antichrist in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation proclaimed himself as a man of peace. He brought together Israel and her neighbors. He confirmed a peace covenant or treaty, confirmed it. And then in that second half of the tribulation period, the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation that we read about in Matthew 24:15. What's that? He walks into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, this is the third temple, and sits down and proclaims himself as God. That's the abomination of desolation. Well, this stirs up a war. And the Antichrist leaves Jerusalem at that time, and he sets up his political, economic, and governmental power in the city of Babylon. I want you to hear what Revelation chapter 18 says about the judgment that's coming upon this city. Revelation 18:3, "For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires for extravagant luxury. The merchants of the world have grown rich." There is great judgment upon Babylon. And in fact, that is the subject, of course, of our teaching today. We left off last week with the six bowls of judgment. Today is that seventh bowl. So we're going to now jump back a couple of chapters earlier to Revelation 16, which describes the judgment in part on Babylon. Revelation 16:17 says, "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightnings, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drink the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on the people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe." Verse 17, "The angel, as he poured out the seventh bowl, proclaimed, 'It is done.'" Verse 18 records one of the greatest earthquakes in all of human history taking place. Verses 19 through 20 says the great city, that is Babylon, is split into three parts. Babylon is destroyed by this great earthquake and this 100 pounds of hail. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10 says that those that partook of the great luxuries and the economic success of the cities, they stood afar off in fear of her torment, and they said, "Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come." Verse 17, For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid to waste. Verse 19, for in a single hour, the great city of Babylon has been laid to waste. The Antichrist thought that he was the sovereign God during this tribulation period. He had all this economic, political, and governmental wealth and power in Babylon, but God reminded him with this great judgment that, no, I am the sovereign Lord of the universe, not you, beast, not you, Antichrist, and great judgment fell upon Babylon. I want us to pause for just a minute, and as Christians, what can we learn from the city of Babylon? There were five idols of Babylon that caused her downfall. As Christians, we can learn something of this city of great idolatry. Learn so that in our lives, we don't partake of God's judgment because of our idols. What can we learn? Well, number one, Babylon was guilty of the idol of self-sufficiently, Revelation 18:7. Babylon believed they were the greatest superpower of the world. There was such great boasting. They had everything they needed. They did not rely on anyone or anything, but worshipped their own greatness. We as the United States can learn to never forget our God, to never worship at the altar of our own idolatry of self-sufficiency. That's what we can learn. Number two, Babylon fell because of the idol of comfort. Revelation chapter 18, verses 14 through 17. Babylon was clothed in luxury and wealth. They had no need for God and his provision. And they never honored God, of course. They worshiped the Antichrist. Number three, Babylon was guilty of the idol of obsession, Revelation 18:3. Babylon had the worship of all the nations surrounding it. Everyone wanted what Babylon had, and they could not see the real problem with Babylonians was immorality and sin. Number four, the idol of self-destruction, Revelation 18:24. Babylon of the Old Testament and the New Testament persecuted Christians. Very clearly, that was their idol of church persecution. And finally, the idol of deception, Revelation 18:23. Babylon deceived those who worship them by allowing them to believe in their greatness when actually they were full of sin and immorality. Babylon has fallen in 1 hour by God's heavy hand of judgment. And with the fall of Babylon, we have the return of Christ in Revelation chapter 19. He will return with us. It says, then I saw heaven opened, verse 11, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Every injustice, every wrong will now be righted. Every social and immoral injustice will be dealt with as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns with us. He will rule, the Bible says, with a rod of iron during that thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth when there will be peace. And when he returns, he destroys the armies with the spoken word of the sharp rod of his word that comes from his mouth. The fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the return of Christ. Now, on our next program, I will go into much greater detail of what this means when Jesus returns. We're just touching on it today because that is the next event that will happen after the destruction and the fall of the city of Babylon. My question to you today is, do you know the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords as your Savior. If you've been listening to my broadcast in the book of Revelation, one thing you have learned, that the theme of the book of Revelation is not so much the Antichrist, not so much the wars, the judgments. All of those things are a part of it. But the theme of Revelation is the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ and who he is, that he is the sovereign Lord of the universe, that he's the King of all kings, and the only cure and the only hope for this world is not to try to turn this world into some utopia or paradise and try to right all the wrongs. No, our hope is in the return of Christ, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron, where he will return and establish his kingdom, and there will be 1,000 years of blessedness and peace. The hope of the world, the Savior of the world, is not the work of our hands. It is the work of Christ. It is who Jesus is. And so if you don't know him today, you can come into a vital living relationship with him simply by asking him to come into your heart, to forgive you of all of your guilt and shame, because the Bible says we have all broken his holy commands. We have all sinned, and we fall so short of his glory. But Jesus wants to come. He wants to come and remove the guilt and the stain of sin that has oppressed you. And the Bible says Jesus is our Savior and Lord, who saves us from the wrath to come. And if you've never made that decision today, that is one of the most important decisions you could ever possibly make in your life. I want us to pause here just for a couple of minutes and listen to an incredible song by DeGarmo and Key that talks all about Revelation 19, the return of Christ. Here is DeGarmo and Key.
Like a thief in the night, just like lightning in the sky, when Jesus comes to take his church away, yeah, with a wave.
Powerful worship music of DeGarmo and Key. I want to close just by quoting from Isaiah chapter 11, which speaks about this time on the earth when Christ returns. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's just a preview of the coming millennium, a wonderful text of scripture that describes in another way what this day will be like. And it is amazing. We see also in Isaiah chapter 2 a similar statement. And it is amazing how the Bible portrays this wonderful, wonderful passage. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. It is coming with the destruction of the city of Babylon and the return of Christ. We will have that millennial reign of peace, which I'm going to describe in more detail, and there are more things to describe next Thursday on the program. Again, if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to the previous ones, go to the Spotify platform, and there is a list of the other 7 programs in this series. It will catch you up to what we studied today. What we studied today, we started out with the destruction of the city of Babylon, the 7th bowl poured out as the judgment upon the nations. And we saw what happened to a city that engaged in immorality and idolatry. And we learned today the great deception of the sin of idolatry. And for Christians, we need to avoid that sin like the plague, because it caused this city to worship a man of sin, the Antichrist. It brought the judgment of God down upon this great city. We can learn so many lessons from the fall of the city of Babylon. So I really appreciate your time today and joining me on my radio program, The Cross in the Desert. I'm on every Monday and every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can mark it on your calendar. And if you can't listen to me live, you can always listen to the rebroadcast. Coming up this Monday, I'm going to show you what the Bible said about the restoration of Israel in Bible prophecy. I want you to have a great weekend. God bless you, and I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert. God bless you all.